Blog Talk Radio.
This is Renegade Broadcasting. We'll be right back.
Heil, Kameraden. Hallo. Guten Tag. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to November 5th, 2013, Eagle's Nest Edition, Renegade Broadcasting. Mein Name ist Jason. And welcome aboard Golden Dawn Airlines. I'll be your captain this evening. Scheduled flight time is approximately 2 hours. Renegade has a handful of great shows throughout the week, starting on the Moon's Days with the Blitzkrieg broadcast with Kyle, the Yid Slayer, That Dog Don't Hunt. Tires Day is the wild card slot. Wodan's Day is Imperium Europa with Dana, the generally awesome Antiochus. Thor's Days, we have Reconstructions Live with the one and only Mike, the Hammer Sledge. Freya's Day is Ragnarok Now with the Philosopher Prince Siegfried. Saturn's Day is the Renegade Roundtable. And on Sundays, we have Aryan Women with Hex and Sinead. Some fantastic broadcasting coming from those two Valkyrian. Check all these great shows out. Load up on the archives. There's about hundreds of hours, Renegade Archives. Wide range of shows, wide range of topics. In the context of our cultural struggle. So load up on that collection. Dump your degenerate music collection out, you know, and throw those MP3s on there. Throw some Renegade MP3s on there. Instead of Nicki Minaj, go listen to Mike Sledge. Plan to take some calls this evening, perhaps get a discussion going. Be doing that in a little bit after some information. Yes, we'll be taking calls. The number is 347-633-9657. Probably start that at the second half of the show. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome again. Thank you for tuning in. This is part two of Judaic Pornography Debunked. I highly recommend listening to the first part of this series, I guess, if you want to call it. Small group of shows. Just a big old collection of information, scientific studies, just different things, which have seemed to point all into a consensus. Consensus being what's known as pornography or smut, whatever you want to call it. To our race and personal lives, personal brains, personal bodies, you. And unfortunately, me, being a porn user since, I'm going to say 15, easy. Which was 13 years ago. So, my personal experience can lend almost as much insight than some of the studies I went through first part of the show, some of the information. And that's what did it for me, personally. That's what really sold me on the whole deal is, you know, what I went through. You know, my experiences, my renunciation of such activities, such habitual yet degenerate activities, such as viewing pornography and, of course, masturbating to pornography. Masturbation and pornography is two different things, yet they certainly go hand in hand, as I'm sure many of you know firsthand as well. There really is just a boatload of information on this particular subject, especially the negative effects. Pornography, especially extended pornography use, and especially internet pornography, which offers the user endless variety, endless hours of content. Fortunately, we've come to find that the average or the age of the average start to pornography use is about 11, which, I mean, what are kids supposed to be doing at 11? What were you doing at 11? What was I doing at 11? Do kids really need to start porn at 11, let alone at any time point in their lives? It's a good question. I say no, no, no. I say no, 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 not at all. I think this stuff kills in more ways than one, and obviously doesn't kill people outright. You know, people, there's not bodies strewn everywhere because of pornography. But there is and has been incredible damage, incredible psychic damage to the healthy developing psyches of children, to young adults, and eventually even to adults. But yeah, the jury has convened. The verdict is in. Judaic smut, guilty of destroying your mind, heart, and soul. Click by click, picture by picture, busty Jewess by busty Jewess. And for those who are on to the Judaic world order, I'm going to speak for myself, just finding out and researching and realizing that pornography and its widespread distribution and manufacturing has been, from start to finish, a Judaic operation, a very specific Talmudic sanctified operation. Sanctified by the Talmud, the Judaic holy book, especially certain specific passages, such as a non-Jewish woman, non-Jewish girl, being born is instantly born in filth. If she's non-Jewish, she is born in filth. She is, it's known in a state of nida, I believe the word is, nida or filth. obviously the only filthy fucks born are the Jews, not our beautiful young females. Yep, it's guilty. They're guilty. And you are complicit in the operation. As a pornography user, current or ex, I'm an ex-pornography user, but I feel that I have been complicit in the operation. I have been a part of it. I am invested in the karma, karmic residue that I am working to relinquish, but that's what I think. That's what I personally think. I think that if you have been complicit in it, then you have accrued a certain level or certain amount of karma. You had your hand in it some way, shape, or form. And even if you never paid for porn, never used it extensively, you still had a hand in it some way, shape, or form. Some would ask, what's wrong with porn? Like, hey, dude, what's wrong with porn, man? The real question is, what's right with porn? That's the real question all of us should be asking. What is right with porn? The answer turns out to be nothing. Nope. Absolutely nothing. Let me, I'll throw everything else out for just a couple seconds and just say, just from my personal experience, just straight from that, it's worth nothing. If I could give it all back, if I could unsee what has been seen, I would in a second. But even if you haven't paid for and or supported some way financially, you still have been complicit and you still have contributed to the operation. Like these mega porn sites, like I think it's XX Hamster, XNXX.com, RedTube, all these mega porn sites, these are some of the worst in that they are absolutely free. What really started red-pilling me on it, really started my renunciation process was, well, numerous things, but one of them was the amount of views I saw on the videos, these videos, you know, how many views, how many people are watching them. And you go to like, you click on a video, say at pornhamster.com, you click on a video, it takes it to the video page, kind of like YouTube setup, has other related videos, and then it has, sometimes it has view counts and stuff like that. And like, just the most random videos, just the most, you know, most degenerate videos, have millions and millions of views. It's like some of these videos had like 8 million views, it said, and like 30,000 ratings, you know, you can rate. Who rates porn? Like, oh, I give this porn a 6 out of 10. Like, what the fuck? But there's ratings, and there's just millions and millions and millions of people watching this stuff. Millions. And a feeling that they need to rate it, that they need to pass on their judge or their judgment of the porn that they used. But porn sucks. Today, porn sucks. It's permeated, you know, just pornography in general has the pipe that it was being fed through has burst. And it's now everywhere, you know, just the culture of it, the Judaic, this Talmudic Judaic, kind of hyper-sexualized environmental mentality as well. It's a mentality that you eventually acquire, kind of this degenerate mentality, you know. It's a very Talmudic mentality, you know, seeing women as, you know, just to be used, just, you know, you're there for their boobs and rears and nothing else, you know, it's just, everything else is non-consequential. The woman herself is basically thrown out of the picture and just her shell, just a shell of her former self is used. Unfortunately, these women in the industry, you know, they're used and abused. Jewish pornographers get them hooked on coke, offer them all these types of money. And in a lot of instances, in a lot of the cases, the money's really not the issue, especially for the poor nowadays. Because the pornography nowadays, I would postulate as being almost exclusively programming, social programming. Not there for your, you know, just give up the bonehead assertion, a knuckle brain assertion that porn is there for your enjoyment. Like it's just this group of guys got together who just, you know, like porn themselves and they just want to see more porn around so they, you know, started up companies and started filming and like, no, it's not there for your entertainment. It's there for your entrainment. It's there to twist your sexuality. Twist your view of women, twist your view of yourself as well. I did a show on porn to a couple of my friends. A couple of my quote-unquote friends, you know. Which is interesting. My two good friends that I had mentioned me doing a show on how bad a porn is. They almost had the same reactions. And similar reactions to what I think a lot of people have. And a lot of what they're thinking with pornography use. The first reaction was, I said, yeah, did a show on how bad porn is. And the reaction was, yeah, that shit is bad. So here's my friend who, you know, our whole history together never talked about anything negative to do with porn. You know, maybe there has been incidents where it's brought up, maybe briefly mentioned. But overall, pornography use is kind of like a secretive thing, even amongst good friends, even amongst good friends. You know, they'll passively, aggressively joke, like, haha, yeah, porn's great, you know, whatever, but, you know, yeah, it's great. They've been, you know, you've been using it since 11. But he says, yeah, that shit's bad, my first friend says. He says, yeah, and I said, yeah, it is. It is fucking bad. You have, I don't think you have any idea, actually. I was like, you should listen to that show sometime. Don't know if he did yet or not. Second friend said the same thing. But he said it in the context of more personal experience, he said, oh, man, I know that shit's bad. That's what the second friend said. He's like, yeah, I've been trying to get away from that for years, says the second friend. And I'm just thinking, like, oh, my God, like, of course. Makes total sense. I've been trying to get away from years. My friend has been trying to get it away from years, for years. So it's a bigger issue than most want to admit, most want to talk about, most want to confront personally. Yeah. And obviously I'm not coming at this with any type of religious angle. You know, I don't really have a moralistic view on it. I got some moralistic views to postulate. But overall, sex, sexuality is amoral in itself, meaning it doesn't really contain any subjective morality. But pornography, Judaic smut, Talmudic smut, Talmudic pornography, I think there's moral issues there. Moral issues in that it degenerates your race. Degenerates your spiritual progress. I mean, you might as well, I mean, even I've been seeing this kind of common denominator a lot, and it's the guilt associated with pornography use. Just this kind of, you know, not so much, you know, God's watching me masturbate type guilt, but more, you know, just like, you know, just kind of a deeper, you know, I felt this with myself, and I've gathered this from many other individuals. This deeper guilt, this kind of like, what am I doing? Like, you know, it's kind of like a train wreck situation or a car accident situation. You know, there's blood, you know, there's disgusting parts to see, but what are you doing? You're staring at it. You can't look away. As you're driving by, you're just staring. You're not even looking on the road ahead of you, just slow, looking at all the sirens and all the destruction. So you have all these guys who have just serious hang-ups about it, but, you know, just and serious guilt issues. But they kind of, that eventually gets overridden and not really worried about. Eventually, as a lot of this research shows, eventually kind of your logic and I guess yeah, your logic and reasoning, intellectual part of the mind kind of gets bullied aside almost. And the very animalistic, very biological parts of the psyche, especially the male psyche, uh, which is said to be at times like a very impersonal magnet. You know, you either attracted to something or you're not. You know, pornography obviously attracts. People want sex, people thinking about sex all the time, people see sex, you're here because of sex. Sex was viewed as a cosmic force, a divine element. And why not? Why is it? Of course it is. How is it not a divine element? You know, we're all here because of it. But with pornography, it has twisted all of it. Sex, sexual relations with the opposite sex. It's probably given you all of your kinks and all of your fetishes, you know, those kinks and fetishes and those specific things that you postulate that quote unquote turns you on or, you know, gets you going is, well, what a lot of this research shows, you just kind of picked it up from Judaic pornography. It's not really a natural thing that, like, oh yeah, I'm a man and, you know, I like this as a man, you know, I like these things as a man. Like, no, you like those things now that they have been beamed back and forth for some every single day since about the average of 11. I said earlier, highly recommend you check out first part of this show. Before continuing on with the present one, but I'm going to go through a couple of, well, I'm going to rehash some of the information I brought forth from the last show. A big chunk of information was from the seductivejewess.com. This researcher pretty much lifted every rock in pornography and found a Jew. And that's what my research has pointed to. Whether it's performers, male or female, the majority of the performers have been of the tribe. Well, I can't say majority of the female performers of the tribe. The more Gentile female performers, the better in their case, because again, it goes, their actions coincide with the Judaic mentality or the Talmudic mentality, which from the time they were 11, they were learning and studying in school, the Talmud, the Torah, different fun, cool things like that. But yeah, we got nothing but male and female performers. The videographers, distribution companies, their affiliates, advertising companies, top to down, mostly Jewish. You know, I'm sure there's some exemptions of, you know, maybe some Gentile companies, you know. And I'm sure there have been plenty of kind of white-started porn businesses or porn operations, but what Jews like to do is when they take over a certain area or specific area, they'll just buy you out. So even if you're kind of successful, even if, you know, you're gaining a name for yourself within the business. Here comes Uncle Jew along with a good fat sum of money and says, you know, it's time for you to be bought out. So they just suck up these different companies. So what they have done with the porn business is it has been centralized. It has been consolidated. So just now today, like on television with new corporate stations like NBC, CBS, ESPN, pretty much every other television station or show or whatever is an affiliate, or they're owned by these individuals, you know. They all play golf at the same country club, if you know what I mean. Yeah, I forget if it was the Bill Gates of porn is what he was called, or was it the Donald Trump of porn? I'm not too sure. The guy who started the distribution or wide distribution proliferation of pornography was Mr. Robert Sternum or Sternman. I think he was recently stabbed in prison or something like that, like 5 years ago. And he was in prison for racketeering charges and all this craziness. And it was basically the Jewish mafia. Jewish mafia out of Ohio, which is where the current Jewish porn mogul is out of, kind of big Jewish enclaves in places like Cleveland and stuff like that, little mini Israels where they kind of get together and they kind of keep a low profile, keep the anti-Semites at bay, sticking together, ganging up when attacked. And all the owners, all the videographers, and a good portion of the male performers are Jewish in this game, this pornography game. This big pornography being a one giant psyop, psychological operation, launched by Der Erich Juden, or the Eternal Jew. I'm going to breeze through some quick rehashed information. There's now substantial research showing that people who consume porn are inclined to attitudes and behavior incompatible with strong family relationships based on affection and care for children. Reports by sex offenders said that they were influenced to sexually offend as a result of viewing pornography. Pornography increases non-sexual delinquency. For example, felony assault, theft, and drug and alcohol use among teenagers. Increases callousness in people, or lack of affection and concern for partner. Increases sexual harassment among teenagers. And obviously probably not just among teenagers. Increases attitudes supporting violence against women. One of the newest hit series in the business, the porn business, or I guess the new genre or whatever, is punishment, or, you know, just pretty much it's fake and they're acting, but they're hitting and throwing and beating females on screen. And, you know, the situation just some sort of just nonsensical, you know, pseudo-masculine domination. It's just, it's Talmudic, it's male Talmudic Judaic domination, you know, in these videos. They're throwing around these women, they're, you know, disgusting abuse, along with forced sexual intercourse. Forced, you know, in some of these videos, it, you know, it's basically rape. It's rape porn, and that's kind of one of the bigger exploding genres going on right now. Just terribly unfortunate. Sex, or pornography induces attitudes likely to lead to less involvement with marriage and children, and thus lower fertility rates, birth rates. So that alone, you know, the science is showing that it's ruining marriages. It's making men less fertile. Less relationship satisfaction. And copying the types of behaviors they see in porn, which is one of the main reasons. The point to it all is for the Gentiles to kind of soak in this retardation, this disgusting character or caricature of human sexuality, Aryan sexuality, which, you know, true sexuality, Aryan sexuality, whatever, it's not represented anywhere. Anywhere we can see, as far as the media. Pornography increases chance of drugs or alcohol used during sex. And increases chances of anal intercourse. So before, probably before born, your smart brain probably wasn't gunning for any type of anal sex, you know. You probably didn't think about doing such things before pornography. But now with the anal fixation in pornography, it's, you know, it's anal is the hottest, the biggest genre in pornography besides, you know, I guess, I don't know. No. Anal is the biggest genre, the most used. There's the titles I've seen of pornography, or modern pornography films, have a lot to do with anal. Anal Adventures 26. One of my favorite quotes comes from A.F. Bogart, and this is from his paper, Personality, Individual Differences and Preferences for the Sexual Media. He said, "There is thus not any reasonable doubt that extensive use of pornography is associated with a number of socially undesirable attitudes and behaviors. There remains a legitimate debate on the importance of self-selection factors. People with certain traits, in particular aggression, callousness, and low intelligence, are more likely to seek out pornography and are more likely to be influenced by its images and messages." So what Bogart says, if you're a dummy, If you're a bonehead and you are particularly aggressive, you are more likely to see gap pornography. Which makes a shit ton of sense. I read a study last week about how it's proven that porn users or male porn users' views on homosexuality correlates to their porn use. So basically, the more porn used, the more kind of your moralistic views or even your sexual orientation, you know, this has been compromised. Pornography has severely compromised that aspect of your being. Your being is like, or your body, your whole being is like a plane cockpit, you know, different apparatuses, different dials and knobs and levers. Different meters. And sexuality is a large part of this cockpit, the cockpit of your being. It's a large part of it, and the Jews have twisted the knobs. They've pushed all the buttons on, they've throttled it forward, you know, threw in all these switches, you know. They really fucked it up for us, our sexuality, you know. How white males view white females, which is one of the biggest reasons of its existence. How we view our own kind, you know, which pornography has turned out to have a lot of say in that. Like I said earlier, with your fetishes, even your sexual orientation can be compromised, easily twisted, sometimes overnight. You know, a child, a 13-year-old, masturbates to an anal scene, all of a sudden, the next day, he's into anal. You know, and this will translate, you know, if he has real intercourse, then he's going to attempt anal, which is because he just watched it, because he just saw it, because it just was injected into his brain. And he saw kind of a hero of his, you know, a lot of people have porn stars as their heroes, you know. Like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, a porn star, you know. How many times have you heard that? You know, oh, my dream job, a porn star. You know, how many times have you heard that? But that's because they think that what they have seen or viewed is a legitimate part of reality. Like, oh, that's real. Like, yeah, well, there's real people there, and there's, you know, it's in this plane of existence, but it's not really real. It's kind of like Schindler's List, you know. You watch Schindler's List, and you can say, hey, man, great job on the uniforms and different aesthetic aspects reproducing World War II, great production, great shot. But the problem is, it's a total twisting of that reality that it purports to represent. Kind of like pornography. Pornography, Judaic smut has taken our sexuality and messed with it. They've messed with our knobs. The pornography use and the funding. That's connected with the sex slave trade, in Israel, Eastern European girls. Again, these people will all play the same country clubs. They're country clubs. They're all buddies. These Talmudic pornographer masters, investors, businessmen, they go to the same country club. Let's just say that. You can't watch, pornography and think that you're not being complicit in this crazy fucking mess that we have here. And whether it's the sex slave trade or just the pornography business itself, which is basically a kind of a sex slave business, I saw a Twitter tweet from a famous pornographer, a female porn star. She said something about not being able to pay her mortgage or something this month. And then she said that, she says, "Oh, now I have to do anal." on the Twitter, that's what she tweeted. She says, "Oh, can't pay my bills. Looks like I'm doing anal." And then there's about like 10 frowny faces that she, like she wrote out. So it's like, these girls are paid, and this is on record, they're paid three to, sometimes four times to do certain Talmudic themes, such as anal or miscegenation porn. Miscegenation porn being one of the main reasons porn is promulgated so much. The famous, one of the biggest categories in porn, unfortunately, is this black on blonde type genre, The blonde gangbang is, just... Like, I couldn't, researching this shit, it's so ugly. It's so... Like, evil's a good word. Evil's a good word. Not evil to them, but very much evil to us. Evil... this type of evil is... I don't know. Just the miscegenation in the porn, they've been pushing this. They have series after series after series of, just different miscegenation titles. The Black on Blondes, 23, part 4, 4-hour DVD, it's just, it's everywhere. So they're getting white males to masturbate to black males having sex with white females, which is, that's pretty pathetic. That's pretty bad. That's, but that's just, that's what they want. That's what they want. There's some there's some scenes and some genres of cuckolding or something like that, where the supposed husband, most of the time these are actors, they're probably, you know, usually all the time actors, but the husband, quote unquote, brings his wife, quote unquote, to have sex with another man, and a lot of these times it's a black man. So in this scene, they just have a white guy sitting down on a chair next to a couch to where his supposed wife is having sex with a black male. And it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like one of them was bang my wife. It's just a series of videos, bang my wife. Like, how, I don't have words. You know, I don't know, I could kill these people. I could break their necks. I'd love it. I could kill these people. It's so bad. It's so evil what they're doing. You know, it's turning white males into these little Talmudic pimps, you know, thinking porn's cool and, you know, women are useless besides what they can offer via sex. You know, it's just, you know, and they're paid, black males at least search for online dating demographic, you know. But what the Jewish media has done is made black males into something, some sort of attractive force, you know, hyper-masculinize them, you know, the numinous Negro in movies and TV, television, sports. You know, just watch ESPN for about 20 minutes and you can't tell me that that channel cannot be renamed to the Negro Worship Channel, you know. So it doesn't matter if you have masturbated to, let's say, lesbian porn your whole life. Say, Jason, look, man, I haven't masturbated to that type of porn. I just do lesbian porn or whatever, you know. Whatever justification you want to bring to the table to kind of convince yourself that continued porn use is something worth pursuing, but it is not. I don't care if you've been using lesbian pornography. I don't care if it's been midget pornography. It doesn't matter. It's all, like I said, they all go to the same country clubs. All these companies are centralized. This whole industry is probably run by 3 or 4 Jews. You know, the pornography power pyramid probably goes to about 3 to 4 Kohens or Jewish priests who kind of run the whole deal. And they kind of pass down specific, you know, specific themes, specific genres, you know. Of course, tailored to our type of psychology, you know, taking advantage of the very impersonal magnetic parts of our brain and taking advantage of that. Kind of reeling us in like dumb fishes. But you know, the smut is everywhere. The culture is everywhere. The pornographic culture is everywhere. Hypersexuality is all pervasive. things like, you always hear terms like food porn, or I used to follow a blog called Tree Porn, which is just a bunch of pictures of really nice trees, but I guess if you really enjoy something, or, you know, I don't know, it has to be porn somehow, you know? It's something really good or it's really satisfying, then it's labeled as porn, you know? Oh, that picture is food porn. It's making me hungry, you know? Type. Just kind of in the culture, it's so embedded now, the hypersexuality, you know? And even subtle memes like, that's what she said, for example. That's what she said. From The Office. Stupid fucking NBC show. Makes everyone think they're so smart watching The Office. Oh, you're so smart and intelligent. Tell that joke again. It was so funny. Rehash that joke you heard last night. It was pretty funny, man. Yeah, you know, things like that. That's what she said. You know, and now it has, you know, like I said, speaking from personal experience, having something being said, not in any type of sexual context at all, and then all of a sudden this Talmudic mentality is activated, and then, you know, the hypersexualization, everything's sexual, you know. Everyone's doing it, so let's just permeate everything and have it geared towards sex or sexuality. They kind of just sliced a big slice through the culture, the media, everything. And then everything kind of falls into that. Everything is kind of being funneled into this mentality, this Talmudic, all-pervasive, hypersexualized mentality. You know. Programming. There to bring you down. I mean, it's there for you. It's not for your entertainment. As I mentioned before, earlier, stop thinking these type of things are there for your entertainment or someone. You know, it's like you've been had, I've been had, and you've been had. Now it's time for us to relinquish our ignorance. Another new and very popular genre in Talmudic smut is it's kind of semi-incestual porn. It's semi-incest. It's things like one particular title is Mommy Bang Teens. So it's, again, that's Mommy Bang Teens. So in a few of these episodes, it's just basically a couple of them, it was the male performer's stepmother, and then he brings his girlfriend in or whatever, and they all get down. Stepson, mother, and girlfriend, which is pretty fucking twisted. But that's what they're pumping out for all the kids to enjoy, you know, the average user or the average age of the start of porn or start of use of pornography. Again, 11. So they know this stuff is for kids. They know that kids are going to be tracking it down, using it as much as they can, you know. The internet's everywhere. They have the internet everywhere, you know. And I think that's one of the main reasons the internet still exists is pornography. You can thank You can thank pornography for the internet. I think so. I think that's why it still just exists. That's why I haven't, that's why Obongo hasn't quote-unquote used his internet kill switch. I saw an article, you know, it's getting ready to shut down the internet. All that crazy hate speech going on. Some anti-fascist researcher saying there was, said there's a 24-hour Klan rally happening on the internet with some of these white nationalist websites. I think that's pretty funny. Basically is, we basically got a 24-hour Klan rally going on the internet nowadays. White nationalist community. Just a hate fest. Just 24-hour hate fest. Foaming at the mouth with resentment and racial hatred or whatever. I don't know. Whatever they're thinking is going down. I'm not too sure. So there's a book called Libido Dominanda. Libido Dominanda, Sexual Liberation and Political Control. This is written by a one E. Michael Jones. The book synopsis is this. Thus a good man, though a slave, is free. But a wicked man, though a king, is a slave. For he serves, not one man alone, but, what is worse, as many masters as he has vices. A man was not a slave by nature or by law, as Aristotle claimed. His freedom was a function of his moral state. A man had as many masters as he had vices. This insight would provide the basis for the most sophisticated form of social control known to man. A decadent French aristocrat turned that tradition on its head when he wrote that the freest of people are they who are most friendly to murder. Like St. Augustine, the Marquis de Sade would agree that freedom was a function of morals. Unlike St. Augustine, Sade proposed a revolution in sexual morals to accompany the political revolution then taking place in France. Libido Dominanda, the term is taken from the first book of Augustine's City of God, is the definitive history of the sexual revolution from 1773 to the present. Unlike the standard version of the sexual revolution, Libido Dominanda shows how sexual liberation was from its inception a form of control. Those who wished to liberate man from the moral order needed to impose social controls as soon as they succeeded, because liberated libido led inevitably to anarchy. Aldous Huxley wrote in his preface to the 1946 edition of Brave New World that as political and economic freedom diminishes, sexual freedom tends compensatingly to increase. This book is about the converse of that statement. It explains how the rhetoric of sexual freedom was used to engineer a system of covert political and social control. Over the course of 200-year span covered by this book, the development of technologies of communication, reproduction, and psychic control, including psychotherapy, behaviorism, advertising, sensitivity training, pornography, and plain old blackmail, allowed the quote-unquote Enlightenment and its heirs to turn Augustine's insight on its head and create masters out of men's vices. So you have as many masters as you have vices. I like that. I like that a lot. So that's one of the cruxes of the Jew World Order, is this quote-unquote notion of sexual liberation. Pretty much turning us all into bonobo monkeys. So we don't make too much of a fuss. Porn addiction destroys relationships, lives. Regan McMahon writes in the San Francisco Chronicle. A 50-year-old married physician views internet pornography for hours at home, masturbating 5 to 7 times a day, then begins surfing porn sites at the office and risks destroying his career. A woman spends 4 to 6 hours in a day in internet chat rooms having cyber sex, eventually starts arranging to meet online strangers for casual sex in the real world. Man spends many hours a day downloading porn, filling multiple hard drives, and devotes a separate computer just to pornography. A married couple view pornographic movies together as part of their relationship, but the husband starts spending more time watching and less time with his wife, who feels left behind and rejected. Of course, naturally. These scenarios are real-life examples of pornography addiction, a compulsive behavior that falls within the category of sex addiction, which has been in the spotlight since the explosive revelations of golf champion Tiger Woods' numerous sexual infidelities. Which I think is a bunch of horseshit, to be honest. The whole Tiger Woods quote-unquote scandal that they had, you know, it's just miscegenation programming. That's all it is. That's all it was. You know, the stud muffin half mongoloid, you know, tiger bouncing around, you know, and they always have his white wife in the media, or his former white wife, whatever her name was, from some European country, you know, this blonde woman. The same program as like the SEAL and Heidi Klum program. It's these people are just actors that, you know, they probably don't even have children together, but they are paid a shit ton of money to be the new normal or to portray themselves as some sort of legitimate reality. So what do? They pump Tiger Woods all over the media, hours on day. Oh, he's banging a lot of women. He's banging a lot of women. Tiger Woods. You know, all the jokes. You know, and it's just... And these Jews are just laughing about this. People just eating this stupid shit up. Regan McMahon continues from the San Francisco Chronicle. It says, millions of Americans struggle with porn addiction for years in secret, without getting caught, and continue their behavior even after it begins to have negative consequences in their life. For some individuals, images are enough, and they remain locked in the fantasy world of pornography. First, internet porn is a gateway to compulsive and risky sexual behavior with others. The National Council on Sexual Addiction and Compulsivity estimate that 6 to 8% of Americans, or 18 to 24 million people, are sex addicts, and 70% of sex addicts report having a problem with online sexual behavior. Sex addiction is an acting out symptom, explains marriage and family therapist Jason Safer, co-director of the Center for Creative Growth in Berkeley and a specialist in treating sex addiction. It allows a person to mood alter away from emotional pain that resides deep inside. In treating addiction, we have to stop the unhealthy behavior, but then do the work to find out what the underlying emotional pain is. If people want to escape feelings of low self-esteem, shame, isolation, or the pressures of life, work, or relationships, pornography is a place to get lost and feel wanted, imagining the perfect partners who always desires them and whom they can always satisfy. Like with any addiction, It's a predictable way to soothe, says San Francisco psychotherapist Gregory Rowe. I've talked to soldiers back from Iraq who say the internet centers there are jammed with soldiers masturbating to porn. It's a way to manage their anxiety. For 90% of men, images are a big source of stimulation, he says, whereas women, an estimated 25 to 30% of online porn users, tend to prefer interactive chat rooms. Comscore Media Metrics, a company that measures internet usage, reports that more than 70% of men, age 18 to 34, visit a pornographic site in a typical month. Porn addiction is a huge problem because people lose jobs over it, Rose said. 2008, Nielsen Online reported that one-fourth of employees use the internet to visit porn sites during their workday. Online porn sites report that the highest usage is between the hours of 9 to 5. According to the website DivorceWizards.com, huge numbers of divorce lawyers report that pornography is a big issue in divorce these days, which it never was before the advent of the internet. The anonymity of the internet, says Drew Tillotson, San Francisco psychologist who specializes in porn addiction, allows one to connect with others in chat rooms or online reality games such as Second Life without fear or insecurity. Crafting an image of oneself or an avatar that bears little resemblance to who the person is in real life. Dana Iskoff, a San Francisco psychotherapist, has treated sex addicts. Says it is particularly difficult for patients to stay away from internet porn because, quote-unquote, we are always on our computers and it's always available. I think the porn users can be paralleled to homosexuals. With homosexuals and porn users, their vice is kind of stuck in their brain, and they kind of live these double lives, you know, to where, you know, they kind of put a social front forward and then when they go to play with their vices, for porn users it's pornography, for homosexuals it's having sex with other men, you know, this is the entrance to their alternative life, you know, and they kind of live these bipolar lifestyles, you know. The homosexual is wondering when he's going to have his next has his next guy fix. I don't know. Same with the porn user, you know. It's always on the brain. It's always kind of just in the background, just in the brain, you know, the brain. Biological part of the brain's like, all right, when's my next fix, buddy? You know, when are we going to do this dopamine thing where we're just watching porn and masturbating and doing this dopamine injections, you know? Porn users are just dope users, pretty much, you know? Just get that shot of dopamine. A lot of the reason porn is just to get you to masturbate. That's one of the main reasons of this hypersexualized culture that we are embedded in, is that I think that they just want you to masturbate. And I'm talking more specifically to males, obviously. A woman's orgasm is different thing than a male orgasm in physiological structure. But the male orgasm is different. And I think that you would do well to meditate. You know, this is not something you can physiological change with yourself overnight, or, you know, you just can't step into this and just start, you know, you kind of have to meditate on this. You have to just have this sink in, to immerse yourself in this thought process, and these ideologies first before you can start transcending any of it. So when you look at your you look at your semen, and it turns out that this is your vital fluid, and should not leave your body at any point. It's known as your chi or prana in some tantric circles. This is where all the energy of your body, and the most important parts of your body, turns out. Certain parts of your brain, literally, stuff that repairs your brain, heals certain joints and muscle tissues within your body, is, you know, this magical healing serum is your semen. And they just want you to masturbate. They want you to throw your energy out into the universe, into nothingness, into the vast nothingness, into space. They want you to throw your will to power. They want you to discharge your lower chakra energy centers, which contains your, like I said, your will to power, your want to do anything, your willpower, your motivation. Saps and destroys it when you ejaculate your semen. It is commonly known among athletes and martial artists that avoiding sex before a competition or event is a vital contributor toward success, since the expelling of sexual energy results in a depletion of strength, fortitude, and concentration. This naturally raises the question, if I never expel the semen, will my strength and stamina grow even more? In non-Western medical traditions, such as Ayurveda, Chinese or Tibetan medicine, it is widely known that retention of semen is a source of health, strength, vitality, and general well-being. The drain of energy that is felt after orgasm has a solid scientific basis. Moreover, the easily observable effect of the woman absorbing semen becoming lively, energetic, and happy is evidence of the energy transmitted. The semen is a viscid albuminous fluid, alkaline in reaction, which is very rich in calcium and phosphorus, also rich in lectin and cholesterol, albumin, nucleoproteins, iron, vitamin E, etc. In the ejaculation of the normal man, about 226 million spermatozoa are given off. These are rich in phosphorized fats, cholesterol, nucleoproteins, and iron. An ounce of semen is considered to be equal in value to 60 ounces of blood, of which it constitutes an extract of some of its most valuable of constituents as far as its vitalizing power is concerned. Dr. Frederick McCann remarks on this point. From what has been stated, it must be admitted that the spermatic fluid does possess potentialities justifying the belief of ancient writers concerning its vital properties. The semen contains substance, substance, is of high physiological value, especially in relation to the nutrition of the brain and nervous system. If resorption of semen through the wall of the female genital tract has a vitalizing effect on the female organism, the same should be the case in the body of the male in which it is formed and conserved. Conversely, loss of semen must deprive the organism of vitality and valuable substances necessary for the nutrition of nervous tissue, such as lechtin, which has been used therapeutically with great success for the cure of neurasthenia resulting from sexual excess. Orgasm depletes enormous energy from the endocrine and nervous systems, leaving the body weak and lethargic until the energies are gradually created again. In Tibetan medicine, it is said that 7 drops of the vital essence of food are required to produce 1 drop of the vital essence of blood. And it takes 1 cup of the vital essence of blood to produce 1 drop of the vital essence of semen. This underscores its value and the time it takes to produce it in the body. Moreover, the Tibetan scriptures state that by retention and transformation of the vital essence of semen, the tigal or vital essence invigorates the body and the mind. This is the basic foundation of the thousand-year history of Tibetan Buddhism and the fundamental source of the huge number of highly effective people who flowered from the tradition, like the Dalai Lamas, the Milarepa, Tsongkhapa, and many more. In other traditions around the world, some of the most remarkable people in history were devoted to the preservation of their semen. People like Shakespeare, Thoreau, Gandhi, Pythagoras, Hippocrates, Aristotle, Beethoven, and many others. Yet, in all these cases, the mere retention of the energy is not enough. Energy cannot be stored easily or without effort. Experiments with semen retention quickly reveal how agitated and anxious the person can become if they do not know how to direct the energy in a new way. This is why the ancient spiritual traditions taught techniques of transmutation to the initiates. Without transmutation of the retained energy, the trapped forces find other avenues to flow through, such as mental preoccupation, fanaticism, fantasy, obsessive behaviors, depression, and other serious psychological problems. Thus, if you intend on saving your sexual energy, be sure to adopt new behaviors to direct those energies in a more healthy way. Some suggestions include meditation, sports, physical exercise, concentrated enjoyment of classical music or art, deep breathing practices, Tibetan exercises, and runic exercises. This is a quote from Samuel Finley. It's from his book, The Breakfast with the Dirt Cult. He said, at some point, he had embarked upon his regime of hedonism in the name of fitting in and having fun, quote unquote. Eventually, people in such circumstances grew addicted to novelty. As they did, they lost their edge and devolved into perfect savages. In coming to dominate the planet and achieve widespread affluence on a scale never seen before, the West had become a victim of its own success and has embraced self-castration. The rot of imperial fatigue gnawed at its core. The earth stank with it. It had taken something fundamental from its own people, and they had grown soft and decadent in the warmth of learned helplessness, making deals with whatever devil promised them everything without them having ever to pay or bleed for anything. is a good quote I found from C.S. Lewis. He said, "For me, the real evil of masturbation would be that it takes an appetite which leads the individual out of himself to complete and correct his own personality in that of another, and finally in children and grandchildren. And it sends the man back into the prison of himself, there to keep a harem of imaginary brides. And this harem, once admitted, works against his ever getting out and really uniting with a real woman. For the harem is always accessible, always subservient, calls for no sacrifices or adjustments, and can be endowed with erotic and psychological attractions which no woman can rival." Among those shadowy brides, he is always adored, always the perfect lover. No demand is made on his unselfishness, no mortification ever imposed on his vanity. In the end, they become merely the medium through which he increasingly adores himself. After all, almost the main work of life is to come out of yourselves, out of the little dark prison we are all born in. Masturbation is to be voided, as all things are to be avoided which retard this process. The danger is that of coming to love this prison. So, if you look at pornography users, do they love their prison? I think they do. I stumbled on a I think it's good. I think it's a great little community that kind of spurred out of this whole thing, or, you know, well, just one of the communities, internet community called the NoFap community. To fap is internet slang for masturbating, pretty much. And there's a Reddit group at reddit.com, which is just specifically for kind of the NoFap movement, which is the anti-masturbation movement, which I think is good. A lot of healthy stuff in there. They're called Fapstronauts. If you go to Reddit, there's like some, you know, 80,000 or so or whatever registered Fapstronauts, people who have taken the time to seek out help with their porn addiction and their compulsory masturbatory habits. I'm going to read a few articles from there, the NoFap community at Reddit. One NoFapper says, "This process changes and usually improves the life of every man who even attempts it. Here's the best part. You can channel that change and focus it on your sex life. You have a primal, almost irresistible urge to procreate. That biological urge, when mixed with your testosterone, is intended to motivate you to jump out of bed in the morning, ready to fight and fuck your way through the herd, leaving vanquished foes and satiated women in your wake. Unfortunately, our advanced brains and opposable thumbs over time have discovered an almost perfect and flawless cheat, masturbation. After all, it's so much easier, so much less of a hassle, to simply cut all the corners, skip through the level, and polish that platinum trophy really fast until the end credits roll. Here's where this wonderful thing we're discovering called NoFap comes in. You, being the horny, oversexed, perverted, woman-crazy fiend that you are, have a choice in how you get off, your hand or vagina. You may feel like one of those choices is viable, but that's merely because it's the easy choice. So it appears to be the preferred one. Guess what? If you actually stop jerking off, and I mean stop, eliminate it as a possibility from your life, as I and many others have, Your sex-starved brain and testicles will literally lead you out into the world in between the legs of a female. Lower your standards. Look again. The only reason your standards are so irrationally high in the first place is because of that damn computer screen you've been sitting in front of your whole life, in front of half your life. Hint, now that you're no longer wasting your life in your comfy jerk-off chair, you will have plenty of time to apply Clearasil, shave your ape nape, and brush your teeth. The author continues, porn has been cock-blocking you from yourself. Snap out of it. Stop jerking off, and sex will happen to you. You will do it for yourself on an unconscious and biological level, and you will literally marvel as it's happening. That was a good blurb. A lady fapstronaut posted on NoFap on Reddit. She says, "This generation's excessive use of internet porn terrifies me. The constant influx of new bodies, new kinks, new faces and breasts and buttocks flashing on screens in an unending search for perfection and an even hotter sex object freaks me out beyond belief. I know what a guy does in his alone time. I know what a guy does in his alone time is in my business, but in the end, what scares me is this. I can't compete with that. I'm a human. I'm one person. I can't be edited or cropped or only shown at my best angle. I have stubble and creases and blemishes and veins. I'm not tanned and oiled and lubed up and prancing around in a thong all day. What I'm finding is that the young men I'm with, even the ones who claim I'm the most beautiful creature they've ever seen, and they do, aren't aroused by just me. I could get completely naked, sit on his lap, put my real hands on him and kiss him with real lips, and I'm still second best. I can't be opened in five tabs as a brunette and a redhead with huge boobs and small ones and thinner and curvier and the rest. I'm stagnant, stationary, one being. And somehow that's not sexy. Women need no fappers. We need to be sexy again. We need a guy who can look at his girlfriend or his fiance, his wife, and find her attractive. I'm looking for that, and I hope I find it, because in the end, I can't settle for less. I can't waste my time trying to fix myself and deal with rejection and disappointment because he couldn't stay away from 100 other new, sexier girls. It's too heartbreaking. So thank you, each and every one of you no-fappers, for doing what you're doing. Or not doing, I should say. You're getting back to normal. You're standing up and saying to the world, sex should be sexy. Men should want their women more than their computers. No-fappers are giving me hope that I'm good enough, that it's okay for me to be who I am, and that I can have a normal and fulfilling sex life. Well, thank you, Lady No-Fapper. I like what this British guy had to say. Let's listen to him real quick.
Stop masturbating now. Now, why do I say that? Well, because if you look into the ancient texts of the ancient Taoists and the Hindu mystics, like the yoga masters and the sort of monks meditating in a cave, masturbation to these people was a big no-no, because your sperm contains your vital essence, your vital energy, and ejaculating every day with complete disregard for its value is just, you're wasting your energy. It's like siphoning fuel out of your car. Now, I've noticed, the longer I've gone without masturbating, for a minimum 1 week without masturbating, my energy levels and general swagger will be through the roof. You know, I'll walk down the street like John fucking Travolta. And if you go to the Reddit.com NoFap, the group called NoFap, which stands for not fapping, kinda, you know, obviously. It's a 90-day challenge to go without masturbating for all that time. And the whole site is full of guys just overcoming their social anxiety, overcoming their depression, having more energy than they've ever had before, and just generally sort of taking life by the horns and living a more full life, because they're conserving their sexual energy and channeling it into other areas. And you also read about like people in history, like Nikola Tesla. I mean, this guy was one of the great scientific minds of the last century, or the last millennium even. And he was a devout celibate, and I'm sure that he was not busy choking the chicken every chance he got, like the guys of today. So, yeah, you know, if you stop masturbating just for a minimum of 1 week, give it a try, and check out the NoFap group on Reddit, just to see all these countless success stories of guys just... improving their lives, basically. And then just think to how you feel after masturbating, especially if you're looking at porn as well. You know, you feel like completely depleted of energy, motivation and drive. You know, this is what the ancient Taoists knew, and this is what we should remember for today.
The lady Fapstronaut ends her little blurb. She says, if you're ever feeling weak or considering going back to the cycle of binging and craving and self-loathing, stay strong for us girls. You're the Prince Charmings of the 21st century. Well, that's white Aryans are. Because if he could have stayed home and pulled up princessxxx.com, she'd still be locked in that tower. You're a new breed of heroes, and I hope I can find someone like you to sweep me off my feet. All right, Reddit. NoFap. Top 25 reasons to quit masturbating. Number one, spend lots of time engaging in other productive activities that will turn you into a much more qualified person. Two, quit objectifying women, start seeing them as human beings. Three, much higher confidence, trust, and pride in self. Four, be a free man who wanders at will, no more a desperate slave with no control over self-fate. Number five, start feeling these intense emotions all the time instead of being numbed to the beautiful world around you. No more walking dead. Number six, much less procrastinating. Get things done on time, resulting in much higher success at work, school. Number seven, no more scared to let other people use your computer. No more fears of being caught. Number eight, burst with newfound energy. Run, Forrest, run. Number nine, start, possibly for the first time since puberty, to really love yourself for who you are. The self that you always loved but unfortunately kept locked away in a self-built prison in your body now has the opportunity to break free and come out. Grow that child into a man. You will find peace of mind in him. Number 10 is much less depression. You'll keep finding yourself feeling happy and positive for no apparent reasons, the same situations where you used to feel worried and distressed before. This is because no matter what, you know you have given your best. Number 11, regain that long-lost ability of actually falling truly, madly, deeply in love with someone. Caution, get ready to shed some tears because you may end up desperately thinking about that one. So instead of getting hypnotized, stupid by all that fabricated and useless zombified novelty and porn. Number 12, grow the ability to maintain a healthy long-term relationship where you can actually be trustworthy, dependable, and reliable, and can deserve to receive the same treatment in return. Number 13, erectile dysfunction, which porn has been known to cause. Need I say more? Number 14, after a long enough streak, you will see that people around you will start caring more about you. The reason for this is that before masturbation, one half of you was always completely missing from their sight. That one half was busy wasting himself away in a life of secrecy built on shame. He was not present. That half of you did not exist in the real world, and the other half did not exist in the real world, was constantly insecure and double-minded in his attitude, never being able to give his best because of his addiction. Now people will start to care more about you because you will be at least twice more present in their lives. And when I say present, I mean present, influential, impressive. Number 15, increased overall physical health because you are keeping your sperm in your body. Read about that. Number 16, you can add to that health by actively working out to, you know, which you probably will, because NoFap is much harder without hitting the gym anyway. Get in shape. Number 17, master your knowledge on how the plastic structures of your brain impacts your behavior. This new modern insight into neuroplasticity is an eventual and positive side effect of doing NoFap. Number 18, be much more creative than before. You are forcing your brain to leave its biggest comfort zone. That means it has to come up with new neuron pathways to survive. Those new pathways mean new ideas. New ideas mean better creativity in whatever you are keeping your brain busy with, such as saving your race from eventual destruction. Number 19, an immense increase in willpower. One badass lion of willpower. How hard could anything be compared to quitting masturbation? No match ever. No barriers could stand a chance against you. Number 20, attention magnetism. If you're doing it right, you will inevitably be radiating all this positive energy wherever you go, and everyone, especially ladies, will be noticing you out of nowhere. They will look at you. They will want to talk to you. It's serious and works like a charm, but when you come to think of it, it's nothing magical, really. Nature runs its course when you run yours. Number 21 says, piece of cake to initiate dialogues, especially after a certain point. You don't have to think about it. You're much less self-conscious. Number 22, no more of that creepy feeling of two personalities, one of you which always have to hide and makes you feel like you'd almost rather commit suicide than be found out. Honest with self, honest with all. You are one, whole and complete. Number 23, no, you are never complete and never will be. Always room for development. Since you have the time and the energy it takes to improve yourself in any aspects. Number 24, gets rid of the other bad habits as well. Stopping masturbation initiates the good domino effect for your life. And the last and 25th reason to stop masturbating is be one in a million. Literally. Your chance to achieve some special snowflake status. Be one in a million. Well, I appreciate everyone tuning in tonight. Kind of went through faster than I thought it'd be, or thought it'd go. I was going to take some calls, but I don't know, maybe I'll have a part three where it's just discussion. Take some calls, the whole show, and just kind of discuss the topics. See what everyone has to say. See what they can contribute. But I appreciate everyone tuning in tonight. I wish you much luck if you decide to take higher roads. Take the Aryan way, you know. What would an Aryan do? How would an Aryan be? you know, are, you understand that your concept of sexuality has been twisted since day one in your life. We've been had, you know, the wool has been pulled over our eyes, but we are in the age of revealing, the masks are falling down, the curtain is being pulled aside, the rocks are being lifted up to find these little creepy crawly Jews, making and distributing porn. The only way a lot of them could get laid, especially with white women, is create a porn business. But renouncement is possible. Renouncement is key. Renounce and then enjoy this world. That's what I say. Until next time, auf Wiedersehen.
the bad side of the force. And if I meet you on the porch, how come are you so good at it's because your black goes what does the black say?
Monday and into the week.
wee hours of Tuesday. And it turns out that this gunman, Richard R. Shoup, turns out that he was a 20-year-old white guy who he didn't kill anybody except himself at the end of this. But this was a big story. The hysteria going on in the media, whether it's Fuck News or CNN, the Communist News Network, or, TMS, NBC, or all the rest of it, we see, the JOG media, the Jewish Occupied Controlled Media, promoting the story, promoting the hell out of it, really ramping up the fear tactics again. I'm sure that all the conspiracy shows out there, as Wolf Wall Street says, who like to play the conspiracy shell game, we'll be talking about how this was some kind of a fake event and an actor and all this. I don't get involved in that. But one thing I can tell you is this, is that anytime there is a white gunman, a white shooter, the media seems to run with the story and blow that story up way out of proportion to induce fear in the population, to scare everybody, to promote their Jewish gun-grabbing agenda. But have you noticed when it turns out to be a black shooter or a black serial killer, they kind of drop the story rather quickly because it doesn't fit into their agenda. It doesn't fit into their program of the evil white man. It doesn't fit into their program of demonizing the white race to bring in and continue their multicultural inspired nightmare that we live under today. They used to say the American dream. Well, we live under the American nightmare today. The American diverse, multicultural nightmare. That's what we live under today. And so, they've made it clear that they want to continue that agenda. As Jamie Foxx said on Saturday Night Live with the Django movie, I get to kill all the white people in the movie. How cool is that? Well, so this is the program, and those of us in this struggle, in this cause, know what the program is. But have you noticed, I'm sure this story will go on for days and days and days, and at the end of the day, the only person killed in this attack, if you will, was the shooter, was this Richard R. Shoup. They said his body was found at 3:20 a.m., in a construction site within the Garden State Plaza Mall. Molinelli, the police chief there, said Shoup killed himself with the same weapon he terrorized everybody with. A guy in this article that was interviewed by the JOG Control Press, Shoup Control Media, actually said, the guys looked like and acted like Michael Myers being so close to Halloween. Yes, white serial killer Michael Myers, the evil white crazed insane gunman that wants to kill everybody. If we could just get rid of these evil white men, this would all end. That is the program, and that's the program that they keep pushing, and it is the program that they will continue to keep pushing. But you know what I find interesting in going to New Nation News here, newnation.org, which documents a lot of black on white criminality, crime, if you will, in this country, which is totally out of control, and most of that never even gets reported, never even is touched upon by the JOG media, by the Jew media. And here's a story here, Sandusky, Ohio. A man accused of raping a young Sandusky mother before killing her and her two children has been found guilty. This black guy, Curtis Clinton, so he has culturally enriched a family here, a mother and two children, by killing them in cold blood. Where is this story? Where is this guy's mugshot? Where is his face postered up all in the JOG media, the Jew media? Well, it's not even talked about. This story was probably only talked about on local media. But you won't see it on the national media, will you? Clinton
41 was accused of raping and killing 23-year-old Heather Jackson before also murdering her two children, 3-year-old Selena and 18-month-old Wayne. The same jury, now listen to this, the same jury that convicted Clinton on Monday will return to the courtroom on November 12th to begin the penalty phase of the case. And let me tell you what the penalty should be to this piece of human debris, this piece of diverse trash. He ought to be hung from the nearest oak in the town square where he committed this atrocity, as a message to everybody else that we will not tolerate, we no longer will tolerate this type of diversity. Clinton should be put to death for his crimes. Okay? No doubt about it. But a judge will decide that, right? A judge will decide that. Now, this guy has a huge record. I mean, Curtis Clinton is charged with strangling another Sandusky woman, Heather Jackson, 23, and then killing her two children, Selena and Wayne, okay? But the last murders happened 6 months after Clinton's release from prison for the death of Misty Keckler. In 1997, Keckler's body was found strangled in a bathtub full of water inside a Fostoria mobile home. Her hands and feet were bound with cord. Sandusky police say circumstance kept them from arresting Clinton for a rape that happened just 4 days before the murders. So this guy was mostly involved in another crime as well. Another rape where he bound and strangled and murdered another woman, Heather Jackson. And then he was involved in the death of Misty Keckler in 1997. You know, a 17-year-old accuser balked at pressing charges against Clinton. The man deserves to die, Keckler said. He should have died when he killed my daughter. That's right. So this mother and her two children were killed in their home. Now, you all have seen the other video, the home invasion. I think it was in New Jersey, where another one of our great, diverse citizens of the United States of America goes in there and beats the hell out of this woman in her own home.